And if you're a certain race, you're incompetent. Yes, it comes out of Western Ontario. That's a horrible place. Very anti the multicultural spirit of Canada. That Chad can't stand. Now, that's obsolete, too. Lots of good news here today. So so then somebody comes on and says, if I was really fast, I could tell you. Did anybody see my rebuttal? The real point is not spirals, it's simultaneity. That's the discovery of Finnegan's Wake and McLuhan's point. That there's no time to have a spiral, is the message of McLuhan. Not the spiral structure in his work is so silly. So this guy says, talking about some article, I did not see any critique of media studies or McLuhan in this article, although I am teaching McLuhan as well. I'm sorry if people teaching or communicating McLuhan feel offended. In Europe, I would say McLuhan was widely discussed in the mass media and famous in the 1960s when the interest in a thorough explanation of what goes on with media was very huge and the openness to a North American theory was larger, while today, for several reasons, his work is not well known in public space. The article just displays the disappearance of McLuhan as a public figure. Well, for sure, his legacy is still present for many intellectual circles, and the respect grows again in recent years, luckily. Then he thanks the guy for Bill for having a nice sight. Then someone says, who could forget his appearance in Annie Hall? Then de Kerckhoff comes in. You know, I've had dialogues with de Kerckhoff that are recorded. He says, McLuhan isn't forgotten at all. He is now so totally integrated within the culture that his thinking has not been surpassed or outlived by the rather feeble musings we read from Zizek, that's Z-I-Z-E-K, and Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N-N, of this world. And I'm sparing Castells, C-A-S-T-E-L-L-S, because at least he does his homework. So there's Derek, in a way, saying that he's kept the McLuhan torch going. And he doesn't like the people who get more attention than him, Zizek and Bauman and Castells. He is now so totally integrated within the culture that his thinking has not been surpassed or outlived by the rather feeble musings. That's true that Zizek and them, nobody goes as far as McLuhan in terms of writing. But I was just explaining a couple hours ago today that his stuff is bizarre, is bland compared to the bizarreness that's unfolded. And he did not predict anything that we've been doing the last 15 years, say. Then someone else says, I don't think he's forgotten either. The books remain on library shelves for all who might care to read them. Joseph Campbell is similarly forgotten, in quotes, forgotten, as are others who once enjoyed a period of being noticed by popular culture. Then another guy says, I teach graduate design students in New York City, and he is featured in 50% of their courses in some way or the other. Not forgotten at all. That's an academic talking. Then someone says, the author's unfortunate use of forgotten and forget is set straight nicely by Alex's email and the other personal testimonies of I teach him so he's not forgotten Friday. But the implied cultural criticism in the last sentence is the most interesting part to me, talking about the original article. He's talking about a culture in which public intellectuals play no part. One can further argue that they are purposely marginalized for obvious reasons by society's owners. Then he quotes a lefty intellectual. I've heard of him, Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges makes this point. Although he doesn't include McLuhan in his list, he easily could have. So here's a quote from Chris Hedges. He kind of took over from Christopher Hitchens, say. There was a time a few decades ago when the work and thought of intellectuals and artists mattered. Writers and social critics such as C. Wright, C.W. Mills, I think he means, Dwight MacDonald, James Baldwin, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Noam Chomsky, Susan Sontag, Mary McCarthy, Ralph Nader, Howard Zinn, and Jane Jacobs wrote for and spoke to a broad audience. Authors William Faulkner, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Richard Wright, Ralph Ellison, Flannery O'Connor, Gore Vidal, Toni Morrison, Ken Kesey, Russell Banks, and Norman Mailer, along with playwrights such as Eugene O'Neill, Arthur Miller, Lorraine Hansberry, Tennessee Williams, August Wilson, David Mamet, Nozaki, Tasaki, Shangi, Sam Shepard, Marsha Norman, Edward Albee, and Tony Kushner held up a mirror to the nation. And it was not a reflection many people wanted to see. Orson Welles and Stanley Kubrick in film, Allen Ginsberg and Amiri Baraka in poetry, Bob Dylan, Curtis Mayfield, Bruce Springsteen, and Patti Smith in music shook the social, cultural, and political landscape. Who do they leave out? the two biggest ones, McLuhan and Zappa. They're always pink. They don't know. They don't see the present. Then this person says, this lefty icon, these artists and intellectuals who did not cater to the herd were nationally known figures. They altered our perceptions. They were taken seriously. They sparked contentious debate, and the elites attempted, sometimes successfully, to censor their work. It is not that new, independent, brilliant, and creative minds are not out there. It's that nearly all of them, so look who he lists, Tupac Shakur and Lupe Fiasco, having been two exceptions, are locked out. And this has turned our artistic, cultural, and intellectual terrain into a commercialized wasteland. Very bad word, commercialized wasteland. Nothing new, nothing there to help you understand the Android meme, which they don't understand has replaced everybody. I doubt that a young Bruce Springsteen or a young Patti Smith or even a young Noam Chomsky, all of whom exhibit the rare quality of never having sold out the marginalized, the working class, and the poor, and who are not afraid of speaking truths about our nation that others will not utter, I doubt that these people could today break into the corporatized music industry or the corporatized university. I disagree. There's so much fucking great music today, which, you know, Kim Raymond sends me for a payday. This is the greatest time for TV, music, and everything. Even intellectuals. Me. I'm the fucking intellectual around here. Okay? Then we got Ion to be the mystery landscape. So everybody's missing the Renaissance. So then he says, it's a horrible world, corporatized music industry, corporatized university, sales, branding, and marketing, even in academia, overpower content. So then the other guy says, the intellectual specialist has now been eclipsed by the charismatic generalist. Now they're getting close to me. I am the charismatic generalist sometimes, correct? As predicted, I am the people's charismatic generalist. People like Sean, you know, a woman on welfare, lives in a fucking trash place in Cornwall, England, and can't live without me. That's the new audience. That's who the intellectual is looking for. The single women out there. Great Martin, sweetheart. That's what we address in that song, sweetheart. So it's been eclipsed by the charismatic generalist, as predicted by Marshall McLuhan. There's someone today. Okay, so he has this long quote. Look, he's now describing Trump. He says, there is someone today who exhibits, quote, the rare quality of appearing to have never having sold out the marginalized, the working class, and the poor, and who are not afraid of speaking truths about our nation that others will not utter. Quote, end of quote. He has unbelievably just been elected as the new U.S. president. Others are waiting in the wings. Now, that's a smart remark. He's changing, the charismatic generalist is Don Trump. Okay, so this is going to get some people pissed off, right? So a guy comes in and says, charlatans rabble-rousing and pretending to be on the little guy's side is nothing new. Okay, that's what McLuhan did. He fucking was, an elitist. Didn't like the electric world. And he was a charlatan. His own son says his father was a charlatan who rabble-roused and pretended to be on the little guy's side. See? They don't know to say that about McLuhan. They got cliche responses to what they think Trump is. This is why I'm the intellectual and you aren't. Or anybody else listening. You don't have a way to look at things differently. That's what the intellectual did. Correct, Chad? Am I correct, Chad? I call on my assistant, Chad. Where is he? Where the fuck are you? Where are you?
Chad!
You are correct,
Jesus
sir.
Christ. You have a fucking function.
We're making a lot of noise here, so we don't want to hear you to hear what's going on. It's X-rated.
Okay. Am I right? Am I right, Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yep.
I agree. Just like you agree with everything Trump says, I agree with what Biden says.
That's right. We pass on.
Agree
the universe is getting realigned. We're realigning the whole universe and all its worlds.
That'll look good on your resume, Chad.
Okay, so
I completely disagree. I think you're totally wrong, Bob.
You?
I don't think
what
that
the
I
fuck
was
are
not
you doing
an intellectual.
Here? You were expelled like several years ago.
That's
how do you
right.
coming in? I understand it. I understand how you get in here.
Know.
Yeah, nobody knows how you get here.
I don't know. I just do.
You are the Donald Trump of Dobbstown.
It's the season
yes,
of merch,
I'll take
not
it.
Blocking.
Sarah's the Donald Trump of Dobbstown. I put that on your fucking website.
You're completely pieced together, full of shit. Yeah, that sounds right. I just
don't have
the hair.
Yeah, the subgenius people said, I was like a guy who showed up at a party that no one wants to talk to and just makes a fool of himself and says things like, you know, hands out lumps of shit for people to drink or something. You know, disgusting person. That's how I was described in the subgenes world. Well, that's how I'm described in the McClure world, too. And that's how Sarah's described. And that's probably how Ion is described.
No, that's absolutely right. That is what everyone says about me. I'm not joking.
Right.
That's true.
The person who just nobody wants to talk to at the party.
Yeah.
Even here. You know, McLuhan and that thing I played the other day, the Gurk Gawk. It's a term. It's a jerk who gives jerks a bad name. Hey, Gurk Gawk. Yep. That's a Scottish word. That's what Iondom is. Iondom's a fucking jerk who gives jerks a bad name. And we follow along in suit. If there's anybody here, we could say walks a balance. Maybe Dr. Dean, the Manipian satirist Dr. Dean, gets away with it. Doesn't look like a Gurk Gawk, but that's how good we are. We have someone here to infiltrate. So this guy says, charlatans rabble-rousing and pretending to be on the little guy's side is nothing new. Charismatic generalists have always existed. But I think Hedges is right that public intellectuals and artists used to have some power to confront them, but now basically don't. Yeah, you know, the intellectual artists could confront the rabble-rousing charismatic generalists, but they don't now. As John pointed out, such voices are pretty incompatible with current popular culture. Whether they've been eclipsed in the manner that McLuhan predicted, I wouldn't know. Well, why wouldn't you know? Do you have a reference for this prediction, he says. Whether they've been eclipsed in the manner that McLuhan predicted, I wouldn't know. I mean, we're up against the knowers of the world, the 11-year-olds who start their own talk show. With their vague generalities.
And they're winning. That's what Bob won't tell you.
Oh, yeah, I won't tell you that. I won't tell you that fuckface is winning. No way. No fucking 11-year-old
is
going to topple
Dobbs. Tell them you're on to them.
Yeah, I'm on to them. So then the guy carries on. Yeah, Trump did, during the campaign, intersperse important truths about America's ills into his cavalcade of absurdities and outright lies, but only as a tactic to get elected. Which I assume is the basis of your addition of appearing to. I'm not sure what that means. And he did perhaps go further in that line of honesty than the corporate masters are normally comfortable with. But nothing that lobbing a few cruise missiles couldn't overcome to get him back in good graces, at least temporarily. So you see how people react in cliche ways? They don't have an original way. These are predictable, these pro-Trump, anti-Trump things. Now, like Jack, if Jack was here, he'd come up with some original take. Right, Jermaine? Otherwise, Jermaine wouldn't be hanging out with him.
Absolutely. He'll say something original.
He's so original, he's not even going to bother telling anybody his originality. He doesn't show up.
Yep.
look at Jermaine agree with whatever I say. Yep, you're right, Bob. Yep. So then the guy says, so the person does provide a prediction, I guess about Trump or something, and he quotes a Playboy interview, page 5. Where McLuhan says, I consider myself a generalist, not a specialist, who has staked out a tiny plot of study as his intellectual turf and is oblivious to everything else. All right, then. Oh, he has several quotes. Then he says, the day of the individualist, of privacy, of fragmented or applied knowledge, of points of view and specialist goals being replaced by the overall awareness of a mosaic world in which space and time are overcome by television, jets, and computers. A simultaneous, all-at-once world in which everything resonates with everything else as in a total electric field. And another quote, the literati find the new electronic environment far more threatening than do those less committed to literacy as a way of life. Another quote, as electric information levels rise, almost any kind of material will serve any kind of need or fluctuation, forcing the intellectual more and more into the role of social command and into the service of production. Another quote, the artists and intellectuals, their great betrayal was that they had surrendered their autonomy and had become the flunkies of power, as the atomic physicist at the present moment is the flunky of the warlords. So he's saying those kind of questions predict where we are in a way. So the guy who wondered about the prediction said, thanks for these clarifications. One of my intellectual heroes, Lewis Mumford, self-identified as a generalist after the fashion of his own mentor, Patrick Geddes. Nietzsche, too, felt that things got murky from too close up, but took on their proper proportions viewed from the right height. Another guy says, I add that in Germany, there was a great public influence of intellectuals on TV, radio, newspapers. The new media pushed them aside, which is sad for many reasons, even if their impetus and aims were not understood totally by the people. Then somebody says, that's a great quotation, which I was compelled to look up to read it in context. You can find the full article by Chris Hedges. That's saying nothing. Then here's another response. This is Alex. My only problem with that article, the original article, is that it discusses American culture as if it isn't really North American culture. Thereby neglecting to mention McLuhan, who began his teaching at the University of Wisconsin and St. Louis University before settling in Toronto. Settling, I guess he means. And whose rise to fame was orchestrated by the advertising Howard Gossage, who called McLuhan the Socrates of San Francisco, or Gossage was the Socrates of San Francisco, and American writers like Tom Wolfe. Other Canadian public intellectuals known on both sides of the border would include Northrop Frye, Harold Innes, musicians Gordon Lightfoot, Joni Mitchell, Ian and Sylvia, Neil Young, Glenn Gould, writers Margaret Atwood, Alice Munro, and the young Leonard Cohen, famous as a poet and novelist, before he started singing, plus the very public intellectual Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Elliott Trudeau. So it discusses...
You slipped that problem. Atwood in a little slowly, or a little too fast.
Who, me?
Margaret. Yeah, you're said, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, yeah, no, Margaret Atwood never... We never got along. My only problem with that article is that it discusses American culture as if it isn't really... Oh, so he's saying it's really a North American culture. There's not much Canadian, or the Canadian part mixes in. And Canadians make a contribution, but it's North American. So then... somebody says, well, the article cited by Eric may have some names missing, but it is compatible to all Western societies in the age of digitalization in its fundamental question. The post-war intellectual, playing a great role in working on a new own state and society and on new intercommunications and interpolitics with the whole world, be it the fiction writer or the philosopher, has mainly disappeared. So, you know, 50 years ago. Now, for sure, there are digital nomads floating around, but they also are only a topic for the smaller group of people interested in media and social studies, respecting their philosophies, groups working on different questions in these fields. So this gets Alex mad. He says to Martin, some names missing. Get real, Martin. It's got a whole North American counterculture missing, which, while being in opposition socially and politically to the dominant because 10 times larger culture, still feeds into the dominant culture in important ways. Martin says, yes, I agree. The article focused on the U.S. intellectuals and artists who had great impact. Curtis Mayfield, many others changing a whole nation. Again, I don't see any attack on Canadian culture in this article. Canadian culture always differed, although McLuhan, like Buckminster Fuller and Neil Postman, who are missing but not in the mind of the author, had very great impact and were public figures. But that doesn't affect the message, and the author, having his own idols he remembered, may be excused. See, there are influences, nano-influences going on right now for the next 2 weeks to some 14-year-old kids buying their MP3s or whatever they do. So such a turnover of influence that these guys are viewing it from a book level, which is a slower-paced world. And that slower-paced world can't keep up with the – who were we playing the other day? Some band that were – Machine Gun Kelly, all right? He's very influential for the next 6 months. That would be he's got billion hits. He's influencing a bunch of people who are nano people that barely exist. And if he lasts 6 months, that is 100 years in the old terms. Remember, 200 years every 12 months?
Well, he's been around at least 3 years. So, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, he's an archetype. For a lot of people, whoever they are, I never met the guy. I never knew anything about his music or anything. So what do I need to know? Nothing. I can go along my – as McLuhan said, I like living in Canada. It's nice and slow here. I can plod along at my own slow pace. Well, that's what I like. I plod along at my own fucking pace. No car. Walk to the beach. Mono environment. Same fucking environment every day. I am rapidly not – in tune with the present. And I'm getting massaged. Look at Eliza. She goes to work in her car every day, listens to car radio. She's always recommending new music I never heard of. That's the hit of the week. But my type will be famous, will be popular again. I will be a fad one day, my lifestyle. You watch. Bullshit. Come on, you guys. You're not even fucking agreeing with me. Try disagreeing. Try disagreeing.
Well,
you don't even know what I
said.
Yeah, what did I say? My points are all over the place. Quadrophenic. It's smart you don't respond. I'm not making any
wrong
point, am I?
Your life will be a trend.
Wrong.
Your life will be the trend. But I disagree, so I didn't
want
to do it openly.
Yeah,
you asked us to disagree.
I don't even have a cell phone. Where's that, walking around without a cell phone? Jesus. I'm Rip Van Winkle. Still asleep. I haven't woken up yet.
Nice. I'd like to hear that name in circulation more than Rumpelstiltskin at this point.
You like that? You like that name, Rip Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle, much better, yeah.
All right, so they're saying, this guy's saying they used to have great impact, but that doesn't affect the message. And the author, having his own idols he remembered, may be excused. Okay, so one last remark. It seems that we're all in agreement on the basic premise that Western culture has changed to the point of pretty much precluding the non-state-sanctioned artist or intellectual from achieving a significant impact on the culture at large, beyond the level of a harmless, co-optable presence. Like you, Martin, I don't hold it against Hedges that he didn't mention everyone, if that's impossible. Now, here's the secret point. Who is having the biggest fucking influence ever in the history of humanity? Yours truly, me, but they don't register it in their images of sociological Western culture. They don't know where we're living today. And you'd have
well,
to be like...
Well, that I agree.
Yes. And so it's not me walking the beats that is a trend. It's me on the radio. I got more shows than these fuckers ever will have. I'm on the air all week long. Arguing with people who haven't got a fucking thought in their head and are just yes men to me. And that is the most important trend going. Me. A little help from Dr. Dean. The
no,
greatest
me. Oh, yeah, Carolyn, yeah.
Nah.
You're saving grace.
I can make you guys agree, get all soft. And me. I just have to mention Carol's name and you guys go all soft.
Yeah, the cackling in the background.
Yeah, there's that cackling. Cynical, manipulative cackling. So let's see how, just play, wait, if I get everything on, let's see how this show begins, because there is the sound element here. Are you guys finding this an interesting topic?
Yeah, I do. He's basically complaining about everything happening, but then... I feel like that's what I come across all the time. People complaining about all of that. So,
what are they? They're complaining that there's no public intellectuals.
Mm-hmm. And that there's no more good music. And like some people that he mentioned, like saying that they don't get enough credit because there's other things happening.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's
yeah. That is
what
no, that's an interesting point
happening.
Yeah, everybody's alienated because their little chemical body brain can't notice all that's going on and just notices what it likes. And there's
yeah.
so much else going on, they're not going to see anybody agreeing with what they like. Or what they like, there's always a part of themselves that what they like is not appreciated. So then you generalize
mm-hmm.
that to, yeah, you know, somebody should like Tupac Shakur or something. You know, I think he's great. So everybody's going to be unhappy because they're so marginalized, everybody is, from the ongoing onslaught, Niagara Falls, of the Android meme. People should start to notice that's why they're unhappy. And then they don't have to be unhappy when they understand why they think everything's shit. See, McCullum predicted that. He said everybody's going to think the world's a fallen place because it's just beyond their ability to adapt to it. Just too much going on. So knowing that, we get a lot of people out of psychiatric couches and off their drugs and off this and off that and listening to me and then doing what I say and then they even get happier. So the whole point is to get everybody happy so they'll listen to me. What'd you say?
That was the solution that McLuhan was putting forward, was just to see the condition.
Yeah. You must see the questions first, he said. The present. What did I just say? So my goal is to get everybody happy, and then they do what Bob does, and then the happiness is squared.
Bob.
Because as I says, our product is for healthy people. Right, Ginny?
Oh, absolutely. Bob, if a person was mildly, not a chronic, let's just say a young person maybe in college or recently out of college.
Yeah, like Greg's kids. Take Greg's kids.
Well, no, because they don't apply to this question. Was someone who was mildly, say, 3 to 4 years into some kind of a chemical addiction, pot or coke or, you know, whatever they do these days.
Vagina.
My sugary walled vagina, whatever it is that they're addicted to.
Yeah, addicted to.
My sugary walled.
An oldie but a goodie. You haven't heard that in forever, Jenny.
That's right.
I'm totally distracted, everybody. Back
how
to your
would you, what protocol would you write for them to be converted? You just said you wanted to, you know, get
make
people off of their addiction. So how would you go about doing that? What would you have them do?
I wouldn't think it out. I just carry on what I'm doing now, I've been doing for a long time with the help of ION and assuming it's working. I wouldn't look for evidence of it.
That's not my question. My question is what would you tell them to do? Like, I remember you told me one time you kind of mentored Kiggy.
Yeah.
How would you mentor a person? What prescription would you write for them to start to break them of their addiction?
Okay, so he was a prostitute, drug taker, dealer in Seattle in 2003, maybe even with his mother helping him. And then he calls me in 2004 or late 2003 and says, I'm sick of this lifestyle. Bob, where can I go? I want to be in a totally different reality. I said, okay, join the LaRouche cult. There you can exercise your left hemisphere. You've been in a right hemisphere environment. And he did that. And so he did the LaRouche cult for a year. And then he moved on to trying to get in college, but that always failed. And then he became a very unhappy person. He raped his mother. So, I failed with him. I didn't have answers for him. I sent him to the LaRouche cult.
Okay. So you would send him to – now, would you send everybody – in other words, you would be very – it would just be individualized, each person. You'd have to kind of feel them out, and then you'd decide what you were going
to
do.
Yeah, I'd send them to one of the 10 holy offices. That's all I've ever done. Go to McClellan,
okay,
or LaRouche,
very
or
good.
Zappa. I have my answers already.
If you wrote prescription for them, you could just write that they need to listen to Zappa 4 hours a day or read.
I've done that.
Or listen to William Irwin Thompson 2 times a day for 50 minutes or something.
Yeah, and I don't say it's going to get rid of their pain. It's just it's the focused use of their pain.
You didn't give me a holy office. You just told me, you just tried to make me cry because you said I needed to cry to stop smoking.
Well, okay, all right. I improvised. You know, you were a tough case. Tough case. Very tough. Still a tough case.
An exceptional person.
But you're coming around, Matt. You're one of my most successful people. You're coming around. It's obvious to everybody. You were hopeless 3 years ago. Let's not even let her speak. It's very irritating to hear her talk. Now we accept your words, the treasury of your wisdom. So you've done well. And I did recommend McLuhan and this and that to you.
Where you recommended what to me? No, you McLuhan. Just you said I should read anything to get my you gave me all of them. You said anything to get my out of my own thoughts.
Yes, your own funk. Yeah. And it worked. So but the thing is, if I did mention it, you say I didn't mention them, but if I did mention anything, it's them. I don't mention beyond them. And I've got a lot on the chart. I could say read Gravity's Rainbow, read Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, watch some footage of Mickey Mantle. There's a lot of names on the Tiny Note chart. But the more intellectual ones are the 9 and 10 people. So I'm consistent. Been consistent for 30 years. And then something better in all of it came, Ion. So I don't even do that. I just tell people to get on our products now. I don't. If they hang around and start getting having a dialogue with me, then I'll start mentioning the holy offices. But before that, we have them go to Monday and listen to Carolyn and get on the products.
Yep.
Isn't that what I do, Ginny? That's what I do. I recommend our stuff.
Yep. Okay. Excellent. Good.
Yeah,
good.
That's what I do.
Good,
if I met them, I would tell them to get on our products first, and then if they got calmed down and they started thinking, then I'd direct them to the memes of the Fatty Communion book. I might even send
Excellent.
Them to it. Yeah, so, and then there's always Ion. Ion's on the
right.
air.
Right. How you would know, you always... recommend a person listen to Ion, especially now that they're not chitty-chatting right this second?
I say there's lots of archives, you know.
Okay.
You're not going to get on. You're not going to get on anyways. We've got too many people calling in, and Ion spends too much time with these persons. So not likely you'll get to, a new person get to talk to Ion unless they show up every week and sit there for 4 hours for the next 6 months. They might get through.
Right, yeah.
And I tell them they should do that because listening to what Ion says to other people is relevant to you. We can't lose. You're the problem, the person who comes. You are all fucked up, and you're not going to probably make it. Now, I'm going to tell you what to do, and if you don't do it, that's your problem, not ours. But we tell you what to do and what you have to do. That's automatic, and Carolyn's doing it on her website now. Any disease, she just says, I'll go and get our body supply. What's it called? Total something. Total reset. We live very automatic now. We're keeping up with the speed of computer solutions by being ourselves a knee-jerk automatic response to every issue. Someone
kind
was
of.
Complaining to me earlier today about that's all. He gets the same answer from me all the time. And I say, yep. That's right. That's all you're going to get from me. And I'm right. And it's going to be proven.
Very good.
See, no one has ever been so right as I have the opportunity to be and have been.
Right. Oh, Bob. Oh, my
gosh. And you know that. That's what you come on
you
and say. Well, okay, we're going to listen to a woman, a doctor, and an ND. We got her practice started in Toronto, and she had a degree in Dalhousie. She is the most right and correct person you ever are going to hear. That's what you're basically saying every week when you introduce Carolyn.
Yeah.
So I'm not so far off.
Very good, Bob. Excellent.
All right. There's a couple of new people came in, Gene and Anonymous. What were we doing? Oh, I was going to play this thing, right? Let's see what it says. I've got the sound ready, I think. See how they introduce it.
Few public intellectuals have influenced the way we talk about communication more than Marshall McLuhan. McLuhan is known for the phrase, the medium is the message. He's also responsible.
Okay, so the guy's just,
okay,
reading,
so the
guy's
what
just reading what I read. So I'm going to move it forward.
For popularizing the way that we refer to content as the
Holy
substance
shit.
Of...
This thing is only what I read. It's only a minute 25, so nothing there. Sorry. Forget it. Let's get back out of this sound bubble. Headphones. All right. All right, next topic. Now we throw it open to the audience. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to sing about?
Bob, did you talk about, you talked about Pat Buchanan's article, or the article about Pat Buchanan on
Yes.
Sunday night?
Yeah, that's a very important article, people. I posted on my Facebook. This guy is an icon. He used to get on, you look at... crossfire footage on YouTube, you'll see him arguing with Zappa. And the thing about Buchanan, he said, you, Mr. Zappa, are the creator of the sexual revolution. Not many people knew that or even would think that, but Buchanan did that, said that. That's pretty good research because they say in the article he's an excellent researcher, finds interesting facts, but he always stood up in my mind as saying that. Now, your parents, nobody would think Zappa started the sexual revolution, right? Nobody would think of that, but it's pretty close.
Interesting.
Anyways, Buchanan is an important phenomenon, and he has no clue of how he is or what's going on right now, and he doesn't know that Trump is not him, that Trump is a holopathic replay by the Android meme of LaRouche Quadrant. You saw my commentary on that, whoever brought this up? Gene? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's Carolyn. Let's bring in Carolyn for a second. Hey. No, Carolyn would know this. Dr. C would not know this. But when we went to the awards in Cambridge, Maryland, where they gave Carolyn the award, there was a bunch of speakers. You don't remember who one of the speakers was, Carolyn. Who's relevant to what we're talking about? You wouldn't know.
Some right wingers there.
Right wingers. Well, there was Pat Buchanan's sister.
Yes.
And she ran his campaign.
Buffy St. Marie or something.
Yeah, Buffy Marilyn Monroe Buchanan or something. You like that combination? She was his campaign manager one of those years, probably his worst year in 2000. She probably wasn't very good at it, but she's stiff-lipped like him. They're both uptight Catholic people, mm-hmm. You know, that hard-bitten, no-fun kind of people that are jealous of Carolyn. She came on and did her talk. So you only remember in retrospect. It would never occur to you to recite that you saw Buchanan's sister.
Correct, and I'm looking up her name. Bay Buchanan.
Yeah, and she had a good sense of purpose, that she does a lot of speaking and inspiring people with the old American nostalgia. You know, that was her mythic stage, and she was quite successful at it. Hmm. But she had no idea about us in the audience. She didn't know who was in the audience. Didn't pick up on it.
So I think, yeah, with that type of the lectures I vaguely remember from that night, they all had a point of view, and that's what really stood out.
Yeah, their point of view was that we must retrieve visually biased America.
Yeah.
You know, what Buchanan represents and LaRouche represents, though LaRouche is a little more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that article, Gene, very important article. You'll have a lot of events mentioned over the last 40 years. It'll remind you of all kinds of stuff you generally haven't got time to remember.
Guys were talking about McLuhan, is McLuhan around, you know, has he disappeared or is he ubiquitous? I never realized that Pat Buchanan, you know, would have any kind of relationship with McLuhan.
No, that's a good point. He's like McLuhan. Relationship with what? With McLuhan?
Well, any type of, you know, understanding or connection or having even read McLuhan. He's such a public media figure.
No. He is like McLuhan. He's so influential, they forgot to bring it up that Trump was replaying Pat Buchanan's three campaigns for president.
Yeah.
This is what Brian is saying on my Facebook page. It's amazing how everybody didn't notice Buchanan was being replayed. But then I explained how, well, Trump is not a replay of Buchanan. But for the literate who are looking at ideas, they might think Trump is. But But Buchanan is an example of an American public intellectual. He's like the last one because he got on crossfire. He was like the most visible guy, so visible in the 80s that he could run for president. He, in a way, was the last public intellectual. And he's forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
He says right in the article. He's also, you know, like a black sheep in the Republican Party like McLuhan was at the university. So that's a nice – see, we always have this symmetry going on, Gene. I just went on this thing about McLuhan, and then you bring in Buchanan, which I posted. That relates to what we're talking about today.
Yeah. On the surface level, the quote, the ideas made it, but I didn't.
Right. He thinks he didn't make it. And he's true because the ideas didn't even get made. Trump is bashing the ideas or ruining them or mutating them as he must. He still thinks there's a framework going on, this Buchanan. He got a visually biased framework, and he thinks he's not in it. There's no clue how far gone it's gone, beyond his worries.
Trump is a flip. He's flipping the...
Right. Trump is the anti-American, the anti-everything. He's anti-everything. Anti-rationality.
Into the fake ideas.
Anti-literate, well, anti-visual bias. What does that look
what
like?
Michael, he's what, Michael? Anti...
I said, no, it's fake ideas.
Yeah, he's a fake critic of the fake ideas in a fake world, of the fake presidency, and everybody can't take it. They want to get rid of him. Yeah, Richard Branson says, I'll give him 3 to 6 months, and then if he starts doing the stuff he says he's going to do, we're going to have to do something about that. We're going to have to start the resistance, says Richard Branson. I just saw that today somewhere as he made a statement. But these people have no imagination about how to respond. They actually have the Antichrist right in their fucking face, and they've got 7 layers of heaven reactions. That's what they are, 7 layers of heaven. They're going to get into a fight and then end up having their kids die in a civil war because they didn't understand how to do it. They didn't know how to do the jujitsu.
And that's the pattern that still exists for them.
Yeah.
You know, they fall into that pattern. That's when I look at the news. What is really different than any other president's first 100 days?
That's right. They hate Reagan. They thought Reagan was a nut. Or in 68, yes. People got depressed when Nixon became a president. They made fun of him. They do it to every president. The president is there for abuse value.
It's and North Korea is always a threat.
He's going to abuse back.
North Korea is always a threat in the first year of the presidency. Always.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's what Trump is. He is squaring abuse value. He's abusing the abusers. And that's what nobody knows how to react to. And every now and then you get some semi-smart liberal intellectual says, I think we're blowing, like Camille Paglia. She says, we're blowing it. Trump's already going to get reelected. The media, the Democratic media have blown it. Every now and then someone sees what's going on. And someone else did recently, too. They started saying, uh-oh. And they warn the idiots, the noisemakers. And then who was I was listening to? Yeah, this guy was saying that. So who was that? I heard this earlier today. This guy was saying, I had to see a panel with Harry Levin, I think his name was, who started TMZ, and another guy, Frank Kitcha, who ran Fox News or the programming part of it. So it was a panel. I didn't have a fucking clue what they were talking about. All I know is that I was always saying TMZ. So I knew TMZ was part of the present, right? But I didn't know. I knew it was big. I just never heard anybody talk about it. So the guy who invented it and the other Fox guy, they were discussing their success. And I didn't know that they stopped a few years ago, stopped making sitcoms. And so this guy says, we don't prepare. We just are fucking ready. We come in at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, and we just get ready for whatever crazy shit's going to happen, and then we pounce on it. And so I was thinking, okay, that's to put it related back to McLuhan. That's amateurism running the thing. It's covering anything with no reflection, just any problem. And they said, we were the first to know that Aaron Morin died. Now, I don't even know if I have the right name, but I think I saw that. Somebody died this weekend, some famous nano star for 10 seconds. You know who I mean? Aaron Morin?
Hernandez.
You guys? No. What?
No.
Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez?
A football player that committed suicide inside.
Oh, I know about that. No, this is Aaron, E-R-I-N. I think she's an actress. And she died. Let's look it up. Aaron dead. See what I get. Aaron dead. E-R-I-N dead. I've learned these Google techniques. April 22nd, 2017. No. Aaron Moran. Yeah. Aaron Fleischman. Aaron Marie Moran Fleischman was an American actress best known for playing Joni Cunningham on the sitcom Happy Days and his spinoff Joni Loves Chachi. Happy Day. I don't remember her, but I didn't see much of Happy Days. Born in
Fonzie.
1960.
Don't you remember Fonzie? Fonzie.
She was just a young little girl.
Okay.
The sister of the
But then,
kids.
Here's a name I keep seeing. I don't know who he is, but he's mocked. Scott Baio. Scott Baio suggests Aaron Morin died from years of drug and alcohol abuse. Then someone else says, no, died of stage 4 cancer. Carol likes to tell everybody she's got stage 0 cancer. You like that? Start saying that to people. I got stage 0 cancer. Stage zero, everything.
That's a good one.
Right. And I think they're showing other Happy Days. Tom Bosley, he was the father of the straight director. You remember the redhead guy makes all the Disney movies now? So Bosley was his father, right?
Ron Howard.
Yeah, Ron Howard. So Bosley died October 19, 2010. Al Molinaro died October 30, 2015. Gary Marshall died July 19, 2016. Now April 22nd in New Salisbury, Indiana. Now, if she's in New Salisbury, that's an alcoholic place. You know, you're in a place like New Salisbury, Indiana. You're off the grid. So anyways, they were talking, these guys, and they're the top show or something, and they live a chaotic life. And he says that we found out about Aaron Morin because we worked hard. We call people, people know people, and then we found out. We were the first to do it. But the media mania that these guys live in, the information mania, is like cancer causing, I'm sure, in the long run. So listening to these two guys talk, one of them said, yeah, the TMZ guy says, he wouldn't name them, and maybe he's more aligned with Fox, so he means CNN. So he says, the commentary about Trump is really getting bad, and they're overdoing it, and they're all going to die as media phenomena, which is what I am predicted. He says, these people are really shooting themselves in their foot. So that's what I was trying to remember. But I found it interesting that I had no clue what they were talking about when he talked about TMZ. You know, there's a jargon that goes with how they do it. They've got terms for whether they catch somebody before or after the scandal or something. Are you there with me, people? Are you with me?
Yep, yeah. Yep, we're here.
Yeah, Bob.
Are you, do you understand that if you listen to this, maybe I can fucking play it? That, so we can always solve it by playing it, right?
Good idea, Bob.
Well, don't yell at me now, but what's Joni from Happy Days have to do with what you're going to play?
The guy who mentioned how they successfully found out she died. TMZ scooped everybody this weekend.
Okay.
With knowing that she died. And I guess it's a pretty obscure place where she was. So
okay.
We go to... Where is earlier today? Where is the article? Damn.
Well, you kind of anticipated my question, Bob, because I was about to ask you, because you're finding some pretty great articles. I mean, even to find an article where you said that Paglioni prediction is surprising, but you kind of answered.
What article is that? Paglioni?
Wasn't it? That's the writer that.
Okay, Camille Pat, are you talking about articles on my Facebook page that you appreciate?
Yes, and then and once you read.
Yeah, Camille Paglia, right?
Paglia.
All right. Yeah. What about it?
I was about to ask you, you know, how do you go about finding these articles? And then you explained that, you know, TMZ was something Ion brought up, so that.
No, not be that. It's exactly the way Roxy described it. She doesn't look. She just starts scanning, and Ion gives her stuff. Ion's always giving me, you know, it's that.
Okay.
It's synchronicity. I don't know how I found this, but I found it. So let's see if we can play it.
Well, that's no
and
different.
Get a gist. And, you know, what's part of the quality is the interviewer is disgusting. I mean, this world of TMZ is so dumb, so non-Broadway proper acting skills. But they're, I guess, they're number one. So let's see.
But that's so cool, Bob, to be to not be professional.
That's right. Yeah. This is the amateurs are running the show. Okay, so bring the volume.
Bring the volume.
I think I'll jump ahead. But listen how dumb this girl is.
This is Harvey Levin, creator and executive producer, TMZ. And Frank Seaches, Senior Vice President, Programming, Fox Television Station.
And don't you be able to make it louder. Why can't I make it louder?
This is like Oprah.
It is audible, Bob.
and I'm living my dream right now.
What'd you say, Michael?
It's audible. We can hear it.
Okay. So, okay. Maybe my phone's low. Okay.
Check your input, output.
None of those things. All right. Let's start at the beginning. So, Harvey, if you could start by just telling us how TMZ got its start.
TMZ got its start when Jim Paratore came to me and kind of obliquely said, we're going to cancel your television show, Celebrity Justice. And then said, but he had this idea for a website. And I remember saying, and it wasn't a TMZ-type website. It was more about red carpet stuff, which ended up being the opposite of who we ended up being. But I remember saying to Jim that I told him, I said, this is so offensive. I'm a TV guy, and you want me to do the web? And I said no. And I remember it vaguely because I was kind of in this margarita haze in Mexico about 2 months after Jim said that. And I remember thinking, you know what? If you started a website and you made it like a news operation that you wouldn't have time periods and you wouldn't have publishing cycles. And when you got it right, you simply just, you got it up. You could beat everybody. And I just thought that is a really interesting idea because there were no news operations that lived online. And it just seemed so simple. And I went back to Jim and I said, if this thing's still available, I think I want to do it. And then we started it.
So it took you 2 months from the time he proposed it to the time you had that realization.
I was gone. I mean, I literally was about to sign a deal with Fox in syndication, actually, just doing production work in Los Angeles. I just like on the verge of signing it, and I went to Mexico, and I thought, this sounds interesting.
Mexico changed.
It was the margaritas.
It was the margaritas.
Yeah.
No. It absolutely was the margaritas.
Margarita haze.
And then did you always plan to bring it to television, or was it initially going to only be a website?
It's funny because we never talked about television. It was always in Jim's head, and he never really talked to me about it. And when Fox came along 2 years later, I was so absorbed in the web. I loved it so much that I didn't want to do a television show. I never told you this.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Thanks a lot.
And I remember when I got a call from Telepictures and they said, congratulations, Fox just bought the show. I remember I said, great. And they said, we kind of, thought there'd be a little more enthusiasm. But I was so interested in the web. And I was also really concerned that a television show, because at the time we were thinking, what the hell is the TV show going to be? Because the last thing we needed was a sixth version of Entertainment Tonight. And then if we pretended to be the web where we're breaking stories in the television show, it'd be false because these stories come up at 11 and 12 and 1 in the afternoon. It wouldn't work. And so we kind of struggled on what a show would be. And it actually took us a little bit of time to kind of figure out that it wouldn't be the website, but it would complement the website and it would be kind of a funny take on Hollywood. And then we just decided to break everything down and not do a stage, not do anchors, not do directors, and really just make it an office.
Still that today.
First of all, if we knew you didn't want to do it, we would have paid way less for it. That's the first thing. Second thing, they did they really deserve a lot of credit because they did come in with an idea of how to not be Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and the rest of them. They did come in with this new program idea, which was a little resisted at first for some of the stations that were replacing sitcoms and whatnot. But it took about 2 or 3 months before stations really started to get cranking with it, and we haven't looked back. So credit to all these guys.
Let me back you up one second. So then I remember when Warner Brothers brought TMZ to Nappy. So at that point, had Warner Brothers decided we're going to do a show, or had you guys come to TMZ and said we want you to do a show?
We came to Nappy that year to do a deal.
TMZ?
Yes. That was the reason we showed up.
And said we think this will work as a show. We want to do it.
Well, we also, you had some show elements. You had some things put together. I mean, it wasn't a blank complete blank slate.
This wasn't me. I had They cut.
Well, you
me
didn't
out.
Do it. Then,
I had
but,
no idea
you know,
they were working
did.
On a TV show.
But yeah, we came here to do or to Nappy that year. Actually, it was Vegas to do a deal for the program, and you know, we got it done. I mean, back then we were starting to think about.
You see, when you do something new, you never know what you're doing. These guys had no clue what they were doing. That's you don't know what you're doing, you're on the way to some kind of success if you keep doing it. That's a rule. There's not anything that ever happened that turned out to become an environment that wasn't an accident. That's why McClone calls all the media events, all the technologies, are accidents. And he said, we can program our reality so we aren't subject to unforeseen accidents. But Ion was an accident. Everything's an accident. Now, there was another point to make here. I forgot it. So let me just move it forward in the middle. See what they're saying till I remember what I wanted to say.
Television here and the internet here, they're going to be producing for two things. That's the only reason you go to these two screens. Two reasons: entertainment and information. That's it. And
okay, that's what that stood out to me. He says the only reason we do this is for entertainment and information. I'd say no. The fucking chip. Do I need to block myself? The chip body is a living, breathing phenomenon. I don't live for this and that. I'm living anyways. I'm breathing. This is what they miss. They don't know that they're living in an organic organ, a lung, an extension of the lungs. And so they think the reason is for entertainment or information. That's not why we have all this media. People breathe it. It's for no reason at all. Just it's there to be experienced. The thing I wanted to remember was... Okay, go ahead. Because I forgot what I remembered. I thought I remembered it. Now it's gone again. Go ahead.
But
oh,
they
yeah.
noticed...
I got to get this out. You saw the Sunset Strip documentary, which was really good. I think you saw a couple
yes.
people looked at it.
Yeah.
Remember? The Sunset Strip is dead now because the stars won't go to the clubs. That's their area. They live there, so that's their clubs. They won't go because of TMZ. So these guys are celebrating what they've done in the TV body or chip body stuff, but they've killed the chemical body social life of L.A.
Yeah, Sunset Strip is a museum now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the stars tell everybody, I'm not going there because some stupid TMZ jerk is going to be there asking me shit, and then I'll be out there, and I can't afford that. So... That I watched this whole interview. They never bring up that point, the disservice of these this is a military operation, this TMZ. Isn't that why – that's what the term means, right? Yeah, military zone, TMZ zone.
Oh,
okay,
shoot.
What are we going
to – never knew that.
Somebody's going to say something. We got a minute or two, but we can continue not recorded.
Oh, wow, that's right. This is 2 hours. Well, I was going to say that – okay, but – They're professing, and it was noticed that they were doing something differently. There was some, for lack of a better word right now, let's call it creativity showing up. What is that?
All they did,
in the conditions
they just made themselves a 24/7 broadcaster. And they just started bugging. They just looked for stars walking around the street, went over and bugged them, asked them questions.
So that's what was different. It wasn't really that. Different.
Yeah, they were like monitoring
the
media. They were a website, and they could put out content anytime they want. They weren't subject to a TV show and timing. It wouldn't work if you were doing it ongoing news. You can't be a slow TV slot into a schedule. So they just were a page that was commenting on whatever media archetypes walked around or had a problem.
Well, here's a good closing question then, Bob. Is there any human doing anything creative right now?
No. You wouldn't want to be creative nowadays. You'd want Ion to show up and do all the creating for you. That's the only way to get out of this impasse, this paralysis.
Ion is the way to get out of the Android meme or move past it.
Right.
Obsolete it.
Right. Obsolete the human.
God
bless the human.
All over.
Well, don't we have to obsolete the meme?